ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3.
Mondays and Fridays, we are joined by Brother Johnny today in Houston. Johnny.
Good day.
Mike Ditka, are you in Chicago, Coach?
I'm still in Chicago. I'm going to later on today, I'm going to Harvard.
Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, it's Wisdom Out of the Radio, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, right here. We begin with this.
Yes or no? In all seven of your Tour de France victories, did you ever take banned substances or blood dope?
Yes.
Yes or no? Did you ever take banned substances to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
Yes or no? Was one of those banned substances EPO?
Yes.
Did you ever blood dope or use blood transfusions to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
But I didn't try to stop the culture. And that's my mistake. And that's what I have to be sorry for. And that's what something... And the sport is now paying the price because of that. And so I am sorry for that.
Well, I can't believe you denied it all that time. And what benefit is it to come out with it now? Who benefits now?
If you're going to confess, this is the way to do it, to Oprah. And he's doing it the right way. He's being careful not to implicate anybody else and name names.
All right, Mike Ditka, Lance Armstrong cheated. What's your take on all this?
You know, guys, I don't know. I don't really get it, I guess. I don't understand all the performance-enhancing drugs. I don't know what it does. I don't know. You know, I know that, you know, if you're sore, you take an aspirin. When we were hurt, we took shots of what we call Novocaine, I guess, or whatever that they put in you, Procaine, you know, and they inject it into you. You go out and play with it. But I don't know anything. You know, take vitamins. I mean, I take vitamins. I don't know if there's anything. You know, people... I've heard of the uppers and downers, but I never took them, so I don't know. So I really don't know what it does, because I think if you have athletic talent and endurance, I don't know how much it can do to help you. I don't know how much it can do to hurt you. I don't know. I don't know what it does for a baseball player. Does it make him swing the bat faster, eye-hand coordinate? I don't know. I don't know what it does for a football player. I don't know what it does for a pitcher like Clemens. Does it make him throw the ball harder? I don't know. So, you know, I'm the wrong guy really to ask that. I mean, I don't know if this guy would have didn't take him, would he have won 7 gold medals? I don't know. He might have, but I don't know. I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, I don't know we won't ever know. I think I don't understand what he's doing other than some sort of personal journey of his to go on Oprah now after lying for 6 or 7 years. I wasn't that surprised to hear it, Steve, just because winning 7 of those, it's like, man. But on the other hand, how many others were doing it? So yeah. He may have been competing at the same level.
Yeah,
because
right.
It was apparently endemic. I think I feel sorry for the few that weren't cheating getting smoked.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right. So if everybody's doing it, is it cheating?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's just, I understand based on numerous accounts, he's kind of a jerk. He destroyed you if you crossed him, and all along now, you got guys that are along the roadside. What happens to all of them? Is this redemption?
Well, I got news for you, Steve. If you're going to lie to someone, whether it's people, fans, friends, for years on end, you're probably a jerk. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you know, that's generally the case.
Yeah, and I agree with what you're saying. I think... not only the lying or denial, but when you point the fingers at others, and you know, I don't know, you know, you can't say they have no right to do this to me. I'm suing them, but and you know damn well you did something that wasn't right.
Right.
And I would say, yeah, you know, it's like I said, I don't want to get in. It's a shame, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to admit that when we watched this guy do what he did, I mean, he was special.
Yeah,
I mean,
he
was really special. So.
All right, Manti Te'o is the linebacker for Notre Dame, apparently caught up in a hoax or embellished part of it or talked about it after he knew it was a hoax. What a strange story, Mike. What's your take on the linebacker from Notre Dame?
I have no clue. I mean, if you can go online and have a relationship with somebody, you got to be nutter than a fruitcake. If you can't look them straight in the eye, talk to them, can't hold their hand, you know, kiss their lips in person. And I don't even know how it's possible, but I guess it is possible that somebody could have perpetrated the hoax. But I mean, somewhere along the way, you got to figure it out, don't you? say, listen, why don't you come to one of our games?
Yeah,
or something.
Something.
I mean, hello.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you the only thing I'll remember about Monte Teo, and I don't know him, is that as a Heisman Trophy candidate at linebacker, he was more like a doormat when they played
yeah,
Alabama because
right.
they were running yeah. over that poor guy.
Oh, I know.
I just remember him, and I'm like, man, that this, and he just couldn't tackle anybody
no,
at all. Mike.
No.
But as far as the hoax, that's just strange. Weird kids. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah. Unbelievable media attention. I think it took Oprah off the front page. It was unbelievable. We got Fox News reporters live from South Bend this morning trying to figure out what Manti Te'o knew and when he knew it. I mean, wow. It's unbelievable, some of this. It's just amazing.
Well.
Unreal. All right, the Bears hire Mark Trestman. What do you know about the new Bear coach, Mike?
Well, he's got a lot of experience in the league. He's been in the league about 17 years. He won a couple Grey Cups up in Canada. He's got a great offensive mind. I'm sure he'll do a great job. You know, he'll put the right people in place. He's going to change the defensive staff. I saw that. I mean, it's his deal. You know, he should run it the way he wants to run and bring the people when he wants to bring in. And then, you know, if they can get to that success, fine. I mean, but he's kind of a, I would say, an interesting guy to develop Cutler to the fullest. I think he's got that potential to really develop Cutler.
Well, where'd he come from?
He was in the NFL for decades.
Like,
for
a long time. He really was a long-time NFL coach. I remember him as an assistant coach for years, and he bounced around a few different teams. And then he ended up taking that job up in Canada.
I got
pretty daggone well.
Yeah, I did a couple of two or three Grey Cups. So he certainly has won in Canada, and he's 57. He's now the Bears head coach as the merry-go-round continues with all of these slots being filled in the NFL, as is the case every year. This weekend, we've got some pretty good football games. San Francisco at Atlanta, and I'm with Johnny, Mike. I think the 49ers win this, but who knows in Atlanta, I guess, huh?
Well, you don't really know. And you're right about that. I mean, I tell you, the way Matt Ryan's playing and those receivers, if they can control the running game of the 49ers with their defense, it'd be a pretty interesting game now because they're gonna have to score some points. I know that, and they're capable of doing that. But it ought to be a great game. I mean, I picked the 49ers, but it doesn't matter to me who wins. I mean, they're both very worthy. You know.
Yeah, and it's an NFC Championship game. It'll be an upset in my mind if Atlanta wins. They just haven't had as good a schedule and haven't played as well, but. They may be ready to roll.
Yeah.
You only need a couple of good games now, Mike.
Yeah, and you know, Mike, didn't you say San Francisco?
Well, I did. I said earlier that I thought they were a really good football team. I love the way Jim does things, and he imposes his will on you. He's going to run that football, and he's going to do some of the old-fashioned things that people probably don't do as much anymore. You know, it's kind of become a passing league, and he's still willing to sit there and use three tight ends, three tackles. It didn't care as long as he poses his will on you.
And I'm all in on the linebacker that thinks he's a quarterback that runs a 4-4-40, this Colin Kaepernick. I can't wait to watch him play. I mean, it's just a new way. It's just unbelievable speed, Johnny. It's like John Cacciatore around the right side.
Boy, I'll tell you what now.
Yeah,
that's not
well.
Very
it's
good
going to
analogy.
Be interesting to see what Atlanta does. I think they're going to have to slow their defense down a little bit, keep their lanes under control, keep outside containment. But then, in saying that, that's a lot easier said than done.
Yeah.
Because once you get on the field, you're going, hell bent for leather.
And conventional wisdom says you don't beat New England in New England in the AFC title game, Johnny.
Yeah, and that's right. And Mike, I've been thinking about the coach. It would be a surprise. I'm still going with the Harbaugh brothers and an upset there because New England's good and they're going to be ready to play. If you knock those guys out, it's usually the first playoff game, not the championship.
And I said that I thought that the championship would go through New England. So it is. I mean, and there's no question now. Baltimore can beat them. Baltimore's done it already. They can beat them, but it's going to take their offense is going to have to score some points. That's the big thing, which they've been doing lately. They have been scoring points. And people think their defense is carrying them. It's their offense is carrying them right now. And Flacco's playing great. The receivers are playing great. They got a good running game. And they got a very solid defense. So they're the kind of football team that can go in there and on a bad day, cold weather, and win a football game. It's
well,
only
you
one
got,
game, guys. It's not like a series of six.
And Bold, Antoine Bolden, he's just going through one of those phases. Mm. You just throw the ball up, and he's going to come down with it. It doesn't matter if you're on him or not.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. 745 ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 8 at this time. Great having him on this Friday program. We turn to Chip Kelly, who's staying at Oregon, who's going to the pros. Nope, he's back at Oregon. Oh, he's going to Philadelphia. Wow. Can he win at Philadelphia, this college coach who's run crazy at Oregon?
Well, I think when you look at these guys, Steve, you look at it, well, he probably feels this way. There's nothing more I can do at Oregon. I've done everything I can do. I've taken that program. I've built it up. It is what it is. It's a great program, well-respected. And probably the amount of money thrown at him with, a period of, say, 4 or 5 year guarantee, you got to take a shot at it. And I'm sure that was the main thing in this thing. And plus, it probably savors the challenge, too, that it's not going to be an easy thing to do, but it can be done.
Well, it's hard. We've seen Saban in Miami, and he just had trouble. And look at him in Alabama. He's the head coach of Alabama now. Didn't do very well in the pros, and neither did Pete Carroll at New England. But look at Carroll now. First he goes to USC, did very well, and now he's coaching well at Seattle. So it's a hard transition.
I think Saban would, I got to when Saban was in Miami, I don't think the personnel was all that great.
Right.
I think, he didn't really stick around long enough to rebuild that thing. So I think that was understandable.
Oh, Mike, how many times have you said, regarding any level of any athletics, of coaching, it's about the players anyway. If you got the best players, you got a great chance to win.
Well, I really believe coaches coach, and I think you can always, bring out the best in a player. You can always help develop his talent. But I think players play. I mean, they really, owners own, coaches coach, players play. And when you start mixing all that up with owners and coaches, you get problems. I mean, they do in Dallas, but, it hasn't proved to be successful. But I think, you stress the talent. Talent, character of the individual. I think it's so important. You get the right kind of guys. You get guys that can play hard, that play well, no quit in them. You're not going to get a whole team of them. But you have to have the majority of those guys to influence the rest of your ball club. You set the precedent. Here's the rules. Here's what I tolerate. Here's what I don't tolerate. And then you go.
Well, and that's a coaching philosophy there, Stevie, and that's a Hall of Fame coaching philosophy. But that takes a knack too, Mike, to recognize those features in a guy. Some coaches don't appear to either understand the importance of them or recognize them, and that's what coaching, good coaching is. I'd say Dick has top three of all time in recognizing the heart of a player.
Well, John, being a coach is really no different than being a CEO of a corporation or business or building a business like you did. You had a vision, you had a dream, you had goals, and you understood how you were going to do things. You had methods and ways you were going to accomplish those things. And as long as you keep it in that sense. Now, that doesn't mean because this is my goal to win the Super Bowl, I'm going to win it. But you've got to have a process to build up to that makes sense to the players you're coaching. Here's what we have to do. If we do this, we can get to this. And if we do that, we can get to that. And they start buying into it.
Yeah.
You remember when we were at the Champagne Country Club, Johnny, and after Mike saw me dribble the golf ball the first time we played, he picked me for his team. I've never played better.
He knew, well, you can recognize a sandbagger when he saw one.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, absolutely. It's 7:49. I've got your inaugural party invitations in front of me, Mike. I've got them for you for all the parties. Both of you have got your invites from the Obama administration.
You guys have it all wrong. It's not an inauguration. It's a coronation.
Coronation.
You got it dead wrong.
Well,
it's king.
Is it
not president anything. It's king.
Is it necessary, Johnny, to do this to show the world that we are unique, that we have this system and the people are in charge of the government? Is this why we do the inaugural?
I guess so. I don't quite get why I thought it was a one-shot deal. But every term, I mean, that's what we do. And I think I'm particularly grateful for our system right now because it's designed to spread the power despite disagreements from various people that it shouldn't be as spread, but it works. And hopefully we'll muddle through here one way or another. When is our coronation inauguration?
The president will be sworn in Sunday in a private ceremony. Monday for the pomp and circumstance. They don't do this on Sundays apparently. So Monday in Washington at noon Eastern, they're expecting about 450,000 versus 1.8 million from last time.
Well, again, it's kind of a rerun.
You tell me they don't do this on Sunday. They have to do it on Monday.
They have to do it on Monday for the public, but he'll be sworn in private on Sunday in some office in the White House or the Capitol, wherever they do this. But they don't do they'll do the public ceremony on Monday.
See, I don't know.
Then they're gonna start the countdown of how many days left to he's in office.
See, my question, and I guess I'll just have to check with the Constitution or what the law is, because the president never really loses power, or maybe he does at a certain point, whether he's the next one or not. I don't know why you have to be re-sworn in, I guess, my
question.
I think that even though when you have a president who's an incumbent and he goes back and he's re-elected, I think you save a lot of money if you didn't go through all the crap, I'll be honest with you. Once enough. And I really mean that. I mean, this is a very expensive process.
Well, it takes a lot of time, too, but it's our American tradition, but it's inauguration, Steve. I mean, but let's face it, and without any comment on Barack Obama or George Bush, but the second one time around, I mean, you're just not going to get as many people to go.
No,
the same show.
Yeah, right. No, that's right. That's right. And I think there was certainly history, first African American in 2009.
Sure.
So it was amazing. But you can always gauge what they expect by the number of porta potties. And they've ordered 5,000 porta potties in 2008 and ordered 1,500. So they're expecting roughly 450,000 versus 1.8 million. So the crowd on the mall might look good. It's not going to be near the traffic as it was in 2009. All right, 7:51, final segment. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, I got to talk about this Dubai and Tiger and Rory. And I don't know if you guys saw the first round on their 10th hole, which was hole one. But, Mike, I saw Tiger do something that I don't know if he's ever done in his life. Johnny, he teed the ball up, 410-yard par four. He did a Stevie J. It was 35-yard ground ball, Tiger Woods. He didn't reach the fairway.
I've done that one.
Well, Martin Keimer stepped up, was so rattled, he hit it in the water.
No kidding.
And then Rory stepped up and did what Mike does, hit it 330 yards straight.
Yeah, sure.
Well, they're only human, coach.
Yeah, it's great competition, great rivalry. Rory's one, Tiger's two. Great for television, great for golf.
Oh, well, there's no question about that. I mean, this is what it's come to. This is the new Arnold, Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, whatever you want to call it. This is going to be really interesting for the next couple of years, and you're going to have to throw a couple of these other young guys in there too.
Yeah, no, it's amazing how good everybody got. Finally, Illinois basketball. Oh, we are in a spin. We are struggling. We lose at home to Northwestern. There goes the ranking. I hope I don't have to say there goes the season, Johnny.
No, well, this group's had inconsistencies that are really puzzling through the years. I mean, our seniors have had this kind of, where did these guys come from? But I'm going to tell you they'll beat Michigan or somebody, you know, and I don't think, I think we're going to hope they do something good. Mike, you know, it's ups and downs, but we really do have some swings sometimes. And,
well, that Big Ten is, there's a lot of swings in that Big Ten, so anything can happen.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to watch the football. Coach, we're going to watch you on ESPN as you always do a great job. We love watching you because when Mike speaks, Johnny, America listens.
You betcha.
Hey, guys, we'll call you Monday, but thanks as always.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Thanks
very much. All right, you bet. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. Hope you enjoy our segments Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8. We had a lot on the agenda today.
Yeah.
Covered a whole bunch of stuff. Lance Armstrong, Manti, Chip Kelly, the Bears, gun control we did not get to, SF at Atlanta, Baltimore, New England, Dubai, Tiger, Rory. I mean, just...
Wow.
Lots to cover when we get those fellows on the phone.
Uh-huh.
I thought we did have inaugurals no matter what day, so I was wrong on that. I thought that... If